you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I love that word, equip. That's why we call our website equip.org, because ultimately what we're doing at the Christian Research Institute is equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and strengthened. We need to be equipped or prepared to always be ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that lies within us, and to be able to do that with gentleness and with respect. Why? Because if you're equipped, God will give you opportunities. And that's no small thing. Imagine this. The sovereign God of the universe using you. I'm not talking about you collectively. I'm talking about you now individually, using you for his purposes and plan. I mean, it's an amazing thing that God would condescend to use frail and feeble instruments like you and I to make an impact in this world. We have the opportunity to give the free gift of the water of life to someone who is thirsty. And you say, well, I'm going to leave that to the hired professional. No, you don't want to do that, because then you're going to miss out not only on a responsibility, but an incredible privilege to have the Holy Spirit move through you in that process. I can tell you firsthand, it is exhilarating beyond compare. I mean, I get letters all the time at the Christian Research Institute, people talking about how this ministry has blessed them. And in essence, that's the privilege I have, because of so many people that support this broadcast, to be used as an instrument of God's grace. Here's a testimony submitted by John. He says, my wife and I were steeped in the Word of Faith movement. And then, thankfully, a fellow Marine talked to me about some of the false teachings of that movement, the doctrinal errors. He told me I should listen to a guy on Bot Radio Network at 5 p.m. daily called the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It piqued my curiosity. I started listening. It wasn't long after hearing Hank that I saw the error of my ways. My wife and I soon left the Word of Faith Church. We haven't been back since. For many years, I prayed to find a local, solid Bible teaching church, and God faithfully provided that through your ministry. I'm praying that God will continue to enable me to grow and serve Him throughout the coming years. Again, the testimonies roll in as a direct result of people transformed, impacted by this ministry, and that's on account of you. You that pray for this ministry and stand with us prayerfully and financially. There are things that we do as our way of saying thank you for making a gift to the ministry. If you become a first-time supporter of this ministry, we'll send you a welcome packet, but I also want to send you my doctrines guide. Laminated 4x6. It takes the essentials of the Christian faith and codifies them around the word doctrine so you can remember them. And not only gives you what you have given your life to as a follower of Jesus Christ, but why those doctrines make sense. Why do we believe in the Trinity? Why do we believe in the resurrection or the incarnation? Why do we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? How do we know that we can, in fact, through Christ, become new creations? The old is gone, the new has come. It's because the doctrines to which we have given our life are doctrines that are not rooted in thin air, as though our feet are firmly planted on a cloud. No, they're on solid ground, on a solid rock, using the metaphor that Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount. We can know that we know that we know that they are based in reality, that which corresponds to reality or truth. Again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Doctrines Flip Chart for your gift. For a gift of $100 or more, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and I'll personalize that to you. And then for a gift of $250 or more, the Legacy Study Bible. The Legacy Study Bible personalized to you for your gift of $250 or more. Again, be coming out to you in the mail. And again, it is our way of saying thank you, our way of continuing a ministry that is impacting lives for time and for eternity. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, we'll talk to John. He's listening in Canada on CHRB. Hi, John.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. It's been bothering me for a number of years, I guess. I guess it's sort of generally about the nature of God. I think as a Christian, or sort of my salvation happened because of God's mercy. Mm-hmm. But I find the New Testament, I guess, fairly easy to understand. It's based on love and God's sacrifice, God becoming one of us, and just this huge grace and mercy. But just the other day, and it happens all the time, I flipped to the Old Testament, and I was reading, because of David's sin, I think God gave him three choices of sorts of punishment, and apparently 70,000, I guess, Israelites died because of his sin. And he, in fact, saw some avenging angel or something carrying out the plague. So I take that very personally. I don't, because for me to have a relationship with God, it's like it's based on the whole truth, you know. And I can't discount the Old Testament because Jesus studied that, read it, and quoted it as did the other disciples. So I just can't put the two together. That sort of pungent, punishing kind of, you know, like commanding murder and stuff like that. I can't put the two together. They're opposites, and it really disturbs me, and I find it just causes unrest, you know. So I was wondering, do you have any hints? Do you have any books I could read? Anything that I can put the two together?
Well, I've written about this in various places. One of the places I've written about this is in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but we've also done position papers that we'll be happy to send out to you on this very subject. But let's talk about this in principle. It is a fallacy to believe that there's a difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. I think the prologue to your question actually concedes that point. You want to believe the whole of the Bible, because if Jesus refers to the Old Testament in an authoritative way, we have to take the Old Testament seriously as well. And I think that one of the things that we start with is the premise that with sin, there's always consequences. And in the case of David, his sin with Bathsheba produced the consequence of the sword never leaving his home. In other words, there was a very significant consequence that followed even after God forgave David of the sin of murder, and David had Uriah murdered on the battlefront, as well as his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. But the sin that you're talking about is also a very great sin that is oftentimes not talked about when we talk about David's sins, and that is the sin of taking a census, where David, as the royal king of Israel, the quintessential king, we might say, of Israel, is taking a census because he is more concerned with his own power than the power of God. He believes that through the arm of flesh, He can control all things and no longer is depending on the very God who installed him as king of Israel to begin with. And so the sin of census was an incredible sin, and we see in graphic terms the consequences of those sins. Now, sometimes, particularly in an anachronistic fashion, we have a hard time understanding the consequence of the sin in the culture and the time in which that consequence was levied. But if we know the nature of God, even though we don't fully understand the consequence of a particular sin and why that consequence is the consequence that follows, we know enough about the nature of God to trust God even when we don't understand. And the ultimate brutality that we find in terms of consequence for sin is not found in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we find consequences upon flawed individuals. In the New Testament, we find the consequence of sin falling on the spotless Lamb of God, unblemished. He bears the sins of the world and suffers in a way that the consequence of the senses cannot attain to. So ultimately, we find the greatest of all brutalities in the New Testament, where Jesus suffers more than any man, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind. And he bears that, on the one hand, in an act of grotesque brutality. On the other hand, in one of the most beautiful of all events that we still symbolize every time we look at a cross, which, by the way, a word had to be invented to fully codify its horrors, excruciating literally out of the cross. All of that simply to say that the horror in terms of consequence of sin is more displayed in the new than in the old. And in another episode of that, just read the book of Revelation, where we see Jesus sending seven letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult who are going to face the full fury of not only a beast, but a woman that rides the beast. And there you find apocalyptic judgment in horrifying detail. So sin and its consequences is dealt with both in the old and the new. And we don't always understand the exacting measure of the consequence, nor can we relate it to the sin, nor can we understand what went on in Old Testament times with complete precision. I can't, and I'm sure you can't. But I know enough about the nature of God to be able to trust him even when I can't understand.
Okay. So, like, on a personal level, like in my own life, you go to church and we're trained to apply this sort of ongoing grace and mercy when we sin. But is there indeed, like, the possibility that those punishments in the Old Testament would be meted out on us now, like as Christians, or is that
yes and no.
all taken on the cross and Jesus?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament and the consequences of sin, oftentimes those consequences fall upon a city or fall upon an individual within the context of a theocratic kingdom and theocratic principles, God ruling directly over a city or a person in that context. So we have to make that distinction first off. But look, here's the deal. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therefore we're positionally accounted as righteous before God. But when we sin, we can't say, no harm, no foul, I'm covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. No, we are going to bear the consequences for that sin as well. So you can't have a Christian man who says, you know what, I'm going to resist temptation in this case, and I'm going to give in to temptation in this other case. You know why? Because God will forgive me. After all, I'm a believer. I'm covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. No, though we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, consequences for sin follow inexorably like night follows day, and therefore we cannot be cavalier about sin, nor can we say all sin is sin. No, there are degrees of sin, which is to say, if you think an angry thought, it's not the same as carrying out that angry thought and murdering someone. The consequences are different. The penalty for that sin is different. Again, thank God we're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but let's live lives of gratitude within the context of His will rather than doing it our own way. More could be said. I've written about this in various forums. We'll send that information out to you. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. When you visit equip.org, you can order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. Again, the address is www.equip.org. Now, there's more of the Bible Answer Man on the other side of this break, so stay with us. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org. When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. truth and the Bible are both under siege. Misinformation, false gospels, and false Christ pervade our culture and world. But CRI stands on the front lines of confronting this misinformation, half-truths, and lies to equip followers of Christ with well-reasoned answers and resources to confirm the truth of the Bible and historic Christianity. We've been blessed to know that we're making a difference in the lives of people, both believers and those who do not know Jesus Christ. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, you partner with us as we equip followers of Christ to accomplish this charge through ministries like the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the award-winning Christian Research Journal, and our website, www.equip.org. When you partner with CRI, you receive many benefits. To find out more, call the Christian Research Institute right now at 888-7000-CRI or join online at www.equip.org. And thank you again for prayerfully and financially standing with us. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
All right, back to our phone callers. Talk next to Teresa, listening on KCCV, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Hank. How good to talk to you. I have a question for you. On Sunday, July the 26th, there was a major article in the Kansas City Star, and it was on Mike Bickle and IHOP. And I know 10 to 15 years ago, they were into the Toronto blessing, the roaring, the clucking, the slaying in the spirit, false prophets, Bob Jones and Paul Kane. Right now in Kansas City, people are flocking to IHOP like a magnet. So my question is, has Mike Bickle repented?
No, Mike Bickle hasn't. He's gone through a metamorphosis. So he was a one-time leader of the so-called Kansas City prophets, and now he's a Pied Piper to thousands of young Christians in a new end-time prophetic movement, which he says is going to prepare the church for the soon coming Great Tribulation and Jesus' return. And he even has a date for that. Now, he's kind of smart. I got to hand him that. He makes the date far enough so it's not verifiable or testable. But he's made enough false prophecies so we already know what category to put him in. And I've written about that in a book titled Counterfeit Revival. But just listen to the kinds of things that Mike Bickle says. I want to play a little clip, and I want people to listen carefully to Mike Bickle, who's communicating, in essence, for Bob Jones, but makes some comments himself, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
Paul was anxious to talk to the end-time apostles and prophets more than the end-time apostles and prophets would have been to talk to Paul. He said, because what they would do would go far greater in the glory of God.
Amen.
And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation.
And just that last line alone is enough to give me chills, quite frankly, and not good ones. And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation. It's the whole story told by these Kansas City prophets now gone through their individual metamorphosis, that the apostles of this generation are greater than biblical apostles and prophets, and therefore, were the biblical prophets or apostles to return, if the Apostle Paul came back, or Jeremiah, or Isaiah, or Ezekiel, or even John on the Isle of Patmos with his prophetic prowess and message, in apocalyptic terms, well, here's what would happen. All of those Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets and apostles would stand in line to get the autographs of people like Bob Jones and Mike Bickle and the rest of them, Rick Joyner. And these are audacious kinds of statements to make. And I wonder if you can make those statements and fear God at the same time, because God has said over and over again in his word, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying, the Lord says. And then God says, which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word, who has listened and heard his word? And then, if that's not enough, the Lord God Almighty says, I have heard what the prophets say, who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I've heard what the prophets say, who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. I've heard the prophets who prophesy false dreams. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. And I think those words, by God speaking through a true prophet, Jeremiah, apply to the false prophets. And I would say to them, don't worry about the Kansas City Star, but worry about the supreme ruler of the universe, because you are blaspheming by saying that God has said what he hasn't said and done what he hasn't done.
The Christian Research Journal just put out an article about Joel's army marches on. Is that relating to Mike Bickle and that group of people?
In principle, yes, but more specifically, it relates to the false prophets around today like Rick Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the false prophecies that he's making. And by the way, he uses his dreams as a method by which to interpret the scriptures. He isn't all that concerned with doctrine. And he as much says that, and you'll see that in the article in the Christian Research Journal. Beyond that, he is making false statements about what's going to happen in the future because he really doesn't know. He says that the stadiums are going to be emptied out because all the people aren't going to be watching sporting events, are going to be following the false prophets.
So is Mike Bickle involved with all them?
Well, in principle, yes. I mean, he's saying the same kinds of things. They believe that there's a great revival right around the corner. It's a great end time revival. They believe that in that great end time revival, there will be miraculous signs and wonders that will eclipse anything that you've read about in the Bible. Little children will walk up to hospital buildings. They won't even have to enter, lay their hands on the buildings, and everybody in the building is going to be healed or raised from the dead or whatever the malady is. It's going to be taken care of. This is not Christian theology. We don't deny in Christian theology that God can heal. But in Christian theology, the panacea is not in this world. It's in the world to come. And we already have authentication for what we teach in the Word of God. We don't need the lies of a Bickle to try to prop up the Bible.
Is there anything, Hank, I can get a hold of? I'm trying so hard to talk to people who I know, and these are mature Christian people, and they're just running over to that place, and I'm trying to talk to them.
They're not mature Christian people.
I'm sorry, forgive me, I didn't hear you.
I said they're not mature Christian people.
But they, when I try to talk to them and to warn them about IHOP and Mike Bickle, they just look at me like I'm just nuts, and I'm just trying to cause trouble for the body of Christ.
No, you know, and then, honestly, that goes with the territory. Jeremiah was a true prophet of God. Hananiah, his counterpart, was a false prophet. Hananiah ate from the king's table. Jeremiah was thrown into a cistern, sinking in mud. There's a consequence to being faithful with the word of God. It doesn't mean you're going to be prosperous or popular. But if you rescue one person, it's worthwhile. That's why God has placed us here, not to be politically correct or popular, but to be faithful to his calling. And by the way, the Christian Research Journal, in the very next issue, has an article on Mike Bickle.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
And that's coming out in the very near future.
Thank you so much. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Let's talk to Corey in Palm Springs, California. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for everything you do. I appreciate you. My question is this. How can I trust that the epistles written by Paul are the inerrant word of God. He wasn't prophesied about in the Old Testament. I'm not saying that, anything he said isn't, there are a few things, but how do I trust that he's inerrant, and how do I trust the 300 Nicene men at the council that they were right?
Yeah, there's this myth that seems to be circulating in our modern epic that at the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. that the Bible was codified, and that's simply not true.
Okay.
It wasn't as though Constantine said, "This is the Bible. I'm determining what it is. I'm a historical winner, and therefore I choose which manuscripts are in and which manuscripts are out." There's a completely different criterion. By the way, I did a little flip chart. It's a laminated 4x6 flip chart on essential Christian doctrine. And one of the doctrines is canon. And canon means measuring rod or rule. And we say that the canon, or the 66 books of the Bible, are canonical because they fit the measure or rule, which is determined by God and only discovered by men on the basis of principles that are outlined by God. And those principles are varied. In the flip chart, I alliterate them with P's. One of those P's is perspicuity. It's a big word, but it has a simple meaning. It means that Paul's letters are clear and consistent with the rest of Scripture. Now, there are many things that we can say about the Apostle Paul. If you look at the book of Acts, it demonstrates that Paul was accepted by the apostolic community as a true believer, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that Christ, according to the Scriptures, appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. And Paul later on talks about that. He says, "He appeared to me as to one abnormally born, for I do not even deserve to be an apostle. I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we believe, and this is what you have received." So Paul there is pointing out or reiterating the biblical truth that he was commissioned by Christ as an apostle. The other thing we have to recognize is that Paul's ministry was accepted by the apostolic community. He was commissioned, he was blessed, his signs and wonders underscored his prophetic prowess. And Peter, we'd be in real trouble if we didn't accept Paul's epistles, because Peter, he puts the writings of Paul on par with Scripture. And therefore, if we discounted Paul, we'd have to discount Peter as well. But again, we accept that which is canonical on the basis of principles that are determined by God and not by men. You can hear from the music. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Good question. Again, the flip chart is an easy way of you to remember the information with respect to what is canonical, what is not canonical. Again, a big word, simple meaning, measure or rule. What fits with the measure or rule of God? It's not the determination of historical winners. It's determined by God, discovered by men. Again, the flip chart on essential Christian doctrine, helpful in this regard. But one of the great resources that you have at your fingertips is equip.org on the World Wide Web. We have all kinds of resources available to you right there, and it's a way in which you can support the ministry as well. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of the show. Please don't touch that dial.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate. And just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Music. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
Hi, Hank. This is Johnny Erickson Tata. And my husband, Ken, and I sure are glad we can cheer you and the rest of the team on right there at Bible Answer Man. You know, in our ministry among people with disabilities, we encounter families who have some hard-hitting questions about the Bible and what it says concerning suffering. And believe me, we know the importance of giving God's Word to people's strength. That's what you do. Especially in this postmodern world, everybody wants to do what's right in his own eyes. But I'm so grateful that you cut through all that to give us the absolute and unyielding truth of God's Word. You've been doing it for years, and it's just our prayer God will grace you with the strength and the wisdom to keep sharing the biblical worldview for years to come. Thanks for all the answers we get on the Bible Answer Man.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff. Right back to our phone callers, Brandon in California up next. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Hank. Hi, man. I just want to say thank you so much, Hank, for all that you do. You have made me into an educated man of the faith. I was once a man who was just lost in his sin, even being a Christian. And you have gotten me into the Word of God like never before. I bought your complete Bible answer book, and you wrote something in there, Hank, that really challenged me the way I spread the gospel now. You wrote to Brandon, Christopher Wells, God bless you, Hank Hanegraaff, Colossians 4, 6. Mm. That rippled through my life, the way you... You wrote that, and I looked that up, and I meditated on it so many times, on how it says to, when you speak, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. And I just go through life now just not ready to forcefully talk my way into people's lives with Christianity. I just let the Holy Spirit speak now. And I don't get into any debates or any... as I used to, or any fights as I used to about explaining what Jesus means to me. But I let the Holy Spirit do it. And just listening to people like you and John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, and people like you guys really are the leading crusaders for Christ. And I just pray that I one day just continue just to listen to you more and more, and just to thirst after Christ as you do. Because you are the one that, ultimately the Holy Spirit, but you are the one that I'm listening to, and I'm getting encouraged by your ministry. But other than that, I really did have a question. I had so many questions because you really touched my life from so many parts of my life, and I really say thank you to that. But in understanding the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it seems like in the beginning, and even in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan tempts Jesus. Even though Satan is a created being, and he knows that he's a created being, does he look at Jesus in this passage as if he's just really a man, or is he really trying to test him that he is God? And if he thinks that he is God, why test God when he knows that he's a created being?
Yeah, well, first of all, yes. I mean, I think the temptation is not as much to see whether or not Jesus Christ is going to sin, but rather to demonstrate that Jesus is the sinless Savior who has come to die for the sins of others. But, you know, there's something else that I think needs to be underscored in red in your mind, and that is sin is irrational by its very nature. I mean, we think about it in our own terms, and we say immediately, why would I ever sin? And yet I do. I do with knowledge and premeditation, sin in thought and word and deed. So it's not only sins of omission, failing to do what I ought to do, but it is committing those things that I know I shouldn't. I'm not always a good steward of the temple, which is the body God has given me. I'm not always a good steward of the mind that God has given me. I don't always treat people in the way in which I would want to be treated. So every day I fail in some way, and I think about it, and I say, boy, sin by its nature is irrational. And why would we think that if we, as those who follow Christ, are still irrational in our sin, and imagine an unbeliever, the lack of rationality in opposing the sovereign God of the universe is irrational. Why wouldn't we consider Satan not being rational in tempting the spotless Son of God? Now, we can also not only say that sin is irrational by its very nature, but we could say, look, perhaps Satan didn't have the certainty, just as many of the disciples didn't until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as to who Jesus Christ truly was. Because Jesus not only took on the limitations of humanity in the incarnation, but he also did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity. And therefore, the Bible tells us that Christ, by his own power, raised himself from the dead. So the Bible will variously tell us that God the Father raised Christ from the dead, God the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, but also tells us that Christ, by his own omnipotent power, raised himself from the dead. So the identity of Jesus Christ is ultimately and fully revealed, even to beings that had requisite knowledge after the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
I see. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate it. And I'm going to stand by you and support your ministry by subscribing to your Christian Research Journal for the first time. I thank you for all your work, and you're really edifying me. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Well, and Brandon, your words are not lost on me. A lot of people think I hear these words all the time, and I hear them frequently, but there's not a single time that I hear words like the words that you just communicated that I'm not grateful to God. And so thank you for your words.
You're welcome, sir. May I ask one more quick question,
yeah,
if I may?
Mm-hmm.
The question is it incorrect for pastors to kind of be driving around in Bentleys and living in luxury homes as if they exemplify the world?
Well, here's the principle. The principle is that as a pastor or a parishioner, we are to take the talent and the time and the treasure that God has given us, and we are to use that for the extension of his kingdom. And we in ministry are going to give an account for how we teach, for how we live our lives before others. We're going to give an account for everything that we have done while in the flesh. So the real problem, and particularly from the perspective of Christian capitalism, is not a wealth, because by the world standards, we're all wealthy. It's a matter of degrees. But it is what we do with what God gave us, how we use what God gave us. That ultimately is the issue. Capitalism says there's not a fixed pie, and you have to divide it up equally, the distribution in an equal fashion of wealth. No, it is that wealth can create wealth, and that is not only physical wealth, but spiritual wealth. It can create wealth, and therefore it can be used in a way to bless others, and that's got to be our purpose. It has to be not self-aggrandizement, but self-sacrifice at the end of the day. And the sin, if you look at Judas, was a sin. He was following the master, not because he loved the master, but he was following the master because of what was on the master's table.
That's right.
Hey, appreciate your call and your words.
God bless you, Hank. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And likewise, bye. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to James, KQCV, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well. It's great to talk to you, James.
I had a question. I hear preachers preaching about when you're born as a sinner. You're born in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's correct.
My question is, now, I had a two-year-old sister to pass about 2 days after she was born, and they said if she was born in sin, how will she be accepted into Jesus Christ?
Well, James, the answer to that question, I think, involves not just your sister, but involves every single person, including you, me, and everyone else, which is to say we're all born in sin, and further, we all die in sin. So the ultimate question is, are we covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And different theologians look at how that works for a child that dies before the age of accountability or the age of reason. And some say God looks down the court of time, sees what that child would do, and judges that child accordingly. Others say we leave that child in the province of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. And I think that's the ultimate way to answer the question, because God has not revealed all the details, but he has revealed his nature to us. And his nature is such that Job, in the oldest book of the Bible, could say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." So we know that when we get to eternity, the Lord of the universe is going to judge your sister with infinite grace and mercy, with infinite love, as well as with justice. And therefore, we leave your sister in the hands of an infinitely merciful, loving, and just God. And then we have to leave it at that. The Bible gives us glimpses of how God operates, but it doesn't give us the details. Which is to say, a glimpse would be David having a child with Bathsheba and the child dying, and David having the certainty that he would be reconciled and reunited with his child in eternity. So we have glimpses by which we see the sovereign mercy of God even in that situation, and therefore I think with great certainty, with great certitude, we can apply that same principle to your sister, knowing that an infinitely just and merciful God will, in the courtroom of heaven, render an absolutely perfect judgment. Therefore, if your sister would have wanted to have a relationship with God for all eternity, she will have that relationship. Right now, for your donation of $100 or more to keep this ministry circling the globe, I'll personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. All proceeds go to the ministry. It is available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. So many people still hanging on. Hopefully we'll have another opportunity to speak somewhere down the line. In the meantime, we look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily, or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend, through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows, which are archived for your easy access. Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig nationally simulcast Teen Apologetics Conference on Saturday, August 8th, to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.